Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 311. And today will be the third part of the Force Fetch review and revisit. And the first two parts, the first one was about making sure you have basic obedience first so you're not arguing about sitting or listening to you. And then teaching the dog to just sit still and hold the bumper in their mouth, that's something they can do and it's not life-ending, and that they need to do it for you and just sit there and hold it. And then last week we talked about now getting the dog to move, holding the bumper, which for some dogs is a very, very easy transition. And for other dogs, it is like the absolute most impossible thing to ask. So wherever your dog is on that scale, you know, if it's a real easy transition, make sure you get it solidified, whether it's easy or difficult, get it solidified so that you can actually take a walk with your dog and they're holding onto the bumper and relaxed with this thing in their mouth. So do you have to take the time to do that? No, but I have found it to be very, very useful. For two reasons. One is if they relax with the bumper in their mouth and just hold on to it, when you start throwing, you know, when you're doing retrieves with them, running marks or just doing hand thrown retrieves, then they come back and sit down and hold on to it because you've created the habit of holding on to it. So that's, you know, you can almost have them coming in and sitting down, and I'll call it delivering to hand. It's not reliable because if they spit it out, you don't have a tool to teach them not to do that. But it helps, you know, to create the kind of response that you want. Don't let them do the bad stuff. The other thing is it does make it, the part we're going to get into now, a lot more, the transition is a lot easier because you are no longer fighting the once it's in your mouth, keep it in your mouth thing. So you don't want to, when you're training a dog to do anything, be working on multiple responses at the same time. It's much easier to do one and then the next and then the next, then piling them all on, because then one, as a trainer, you might be confused as to which thing you're communicating. And certainly for dogs, when you're working on multiple things, they're not clear on what it is you're asking of them, what it is you're showing them and then asking them to do on their own. And so you can get dogs that are very confused or very resistant, or they just get to dreading this kind of thing. So if you've ever heard negative things about force fetch, right here is where a lot of that can start, because, you know, the dog, you got them holding good enough, we're going to move right into force fetch, and so, but they're not really holding well enough, and so now you're trying to keep them holding and also teach them to reach, and then you can get frustrated, and then they just, here's the dark cloud coming in again, which makes them not like this. So problems can start here. If you don't keep it very, very clear for the dog. And for that to be the case, it has to be very, very clear for you. Just really important thing right there. So let's just review. Now we've got the dog where they heel and sit and remain seated and all that stuff. They will do it holding a bumper. And you can do your obedience and enforce sit and, you know, enforce here mechanically, no electricity in my world, no electricity on this, and teach them, you know, even if I enforce a sit or jerk you on the leash to come to me or to do the front finish, you do all of that holding the bumper. So we've got that going. Now we're going into the part where people really diverge in how they do this. And is there one way to do it? No. Is my way the best way? For me, it is. Other people have other ways. So I'm not telling anybody not to do it. And if it's very different from this, if it works for them, you know, always do what works. But I'm just going to talk about an approach that I learned from some very, very excellent people and then sort of tuned it up to be appropriate with somebody like me who is not a big dog slammer. I do not, you know, I'm not the tough guy. it's not my way or the highway. I'm not really very soft or anything anymore, but I'm also, you know, I don't need to hurt a dog. I don't need to hear them making noise. I just need to teach the response and then enforce the response like I've done everywhere else, like I did on heel and sit. So now we're going to transfer it to something else. And I would be very mindful and very cautious in this because misunderstood pressure, that is when you're, you know, enforcing something and the dog doesn't understand what it is you're enforcing, you think they do, but they don't. And so then you really get after them or you really, you know, a lot of people like really lay the hammer down. This is where you can begin to create mouth problems. So I like to not create mouth problems if at all possible. And this is one of the places where that can happen. So please remember, animals show their anxiety in their mouths. Very often yawning, when an animal yawns, it's not generally boredom. It's generally anxiety for some reason. And so the anxiety shows that way. If they're anxious, you know, sometimes you're taking them to the boarding kennel or somewhere they don't want, hopefully not the force-fed table. And salivation, they kind of get a little drooly. That is another sign. It could be a sign of a sick dog, but I'm not talking about that. Anxiety shows that way. It shows up if you got a dog that did a little bit of lockjaw on you when you taught them hold. And they're like, all right, hold, but I'm not letting go. Or, all right, once you take it, I'm going to clamp down and you're not going to put it back in. If you got a little bit of lockjaw activity going on teaching hold, then that tells you that the anxiety really does come out in what they do with their mouth. So really, know that going in. And do what you can to not make it worse. They've shown you they'll show an anxiety, so what we want to do is not create any more. As a matter of fact, if we can, believe it or not, we can relax them a little bit and go, no, this is really okay. You can do it, and this is a very calm thing. So, and again, this may diverge from a lot of things that you've seen. I do the ear pinch primarily because that's how I was taught way back in the Danny Farmer, Judy Acock days. Because there was the toe hitchers, which came from, I think, up in the Northwest. I could be wrong. And Billy Eckert and a lot of the really good guys have done that. And then there was the ear pincher guys. So I learned from them and learned it well. And mechanically, I like it better. I don't like messing with the bones. There's a lot of bones in a dog's foot. And I'm just uncomfortable mechanically messing around with that. So I prefer the ear pinch. The toe hitch, you're not touching them, you know, you're just hoisting a thing up, and if you have never seen it, don't look for it. It's not as personal as the ear pinch. And I have a force fetch video that, and I'm not hawking that, but it really shows up close and personal exactly how you do this, you know, without devastating a dog. And when you have your hand, and I'm not even going to try and describe it here, when you have your hand in the collar up at the back of their skull next to their ear, which is where I would keep my hand in, and then I use the brass end of a shotgun shell. A lot of people use other things. It's whatever works best for you that you can stay very accurate while you're doing this. So I'm not going to go into that description because you just have to see it really to be able to carry it out. Have someone who's done it show you. Okay, so we're going to slow down. You can take a big walk with your dog and you can, they'll carry the bumper. So now we're going to teach them the next step in this. And this is a very important step for you and for the dog. Because this is the place where very simply we are teaching the dog, starting with baby steps and moving forward, that when I tell you to take something into your mouth, you don't question it. You don't see how you feel about it. You just take it into your mouth. And this, we want this, in my opinion, to be a calm, non-brutal, very connected activity. So this is a highly unnatural thing for the dog to do, just like holding it and walking around holding a plastic bumper. This is also kind of a very uncomfortable thing. How well you taught your obedience is now, believe it or not, going to factor into here. If you have, you know, fairly good obedience, you got it done real quick, you don't like enforcing sit, you don't like enforcing here, your dog does it really well, so we just won't do much of that, that will hurt you. If you have taught the dog, I'm going to teach you an action I want you to take, and then I am going to enforce that so that you have a little bit of a sense of urgency to carry out that thing. I did not say they're terrified or you're hurting them. You just create that real short synapse path that I've talked about a zillion times, that when you say sit, boom, they sit. Or if you say here, boom, they come here. Or if you say heel, they're at your left side or right side, whichever way you do it. That's important that you have taught them how to deal and manage pressure. How to manage pressure. They can manage obedience enforcement pressure merely by responding, and they control it, and there is none. That's very important. At least for me, I would do an extremely good job there because I wanted this force fetch to go well. So having taught that, not with electricity, but with my mechanical enforcement, I am now going to transfer that way of interaction to the dog in their mouth. Okay. And so, and here, like on my video, I've got the dog on a force fetch table. So the dog and I am eye level with the dog and I'm right there with them and they're sitting there on the table. So now we're not walking around anymore. We're back just now going to teach them the response to fetch. Now, a lot of people do a little bit of a, what do I want to call it? Attrition way of fetching. And a lot of people have done that. You know, you just tell them to fetch and they like picking it up because you're going to throw it again. And so they make you create an association between the word fetch and get that in your mouth. But what that is an association. And for advanced work and critical stuff, you have to have more than an association. You have to have a built-in response like you do with sit, the sit whistle, or with hear or the hear whistle. You have to have the built-in response so that whether they have a collar on or not a collar or whatever's going on, that they realize when you say that, they do it. Not out of fear, but out of creating these very short synapses between hearing it and executing it. And now we're going to do that over here on the fetch as well, because then they learn, when I hear the word fetch, I need to reach for this. And then we can, you know, move that out to more distances and get all the handling stuff and all that. But we're, like I said, you're going to shoot a pheasant and don't kill it. If the dog sets that down, you lose that pheasant. And so, or the wounded duck in the water goes down under, stays under there a long time. So you need a dog that has the conviction, has been trained. I go get that, I get it in my mouth, and then I take it straight back, and that's all I do. So that clarity needs to remain here. And a more than association, okay, you teach the dog when I say the word fetch, you reach for the bumper. Now here's the really hard part. And most of the time, and I show this in the video, and I guess I am hawking the video because I would like for people serious about this to really look closely. But here's the part where we are going to teach them that when I say fetch, you are going to, the bumper is going to go in your mouth. To start, it's going to go in the mouth because I'm going to put it in there. I can't just assume. Some dogs will be reaching, and that's great. But that doesn't mean you can skip this part, right? We've really got to condition this in if you want to do a thorough job. So I use an ear pinch where I have my hand inside. I have most of my fingers underneath the collar, up near, not the tip of the ear, but up near where the ear joins right onto the head. Because I have the collar on firmly right behind their skull. My hand is through there. And I have the brass part of a shotgun shell. And my two fingers, thumb and forefinger, pinch the ear to against the shotgun shell. That's what's going to happen. But when my hand just remains in there. So if you have a dog that doesn't sit, you're fighting obedience. You can't even do this. We have to have the dog that already knows I just sit here. And at first, before you even put your hand in there, at first, for the first couple times you do this, couple days, the first thing you do is say the word fetch, like you have with teaching hold, right? You say the word fetch because that's what we're creating, that association between fetch, it goes in your mouth. Only we do all the work. We put it in there. Fetch, put it in there. Now your dog will hold. Take it out. And then again, say fetch, put it back in. So we want them to understand, remember, fetch means it goes into your mouth. But all through this hold stuff, we've been doing it for them. Sometimes, and if you do that kind of well, then when you say fetch, they actually will kind of reach for it, even though you haven't done any pressure with that yet. They'll reach for it. So that's really good when they understand that you want that. That does not mean they will do that for a intestines hanging out bird kind of a thing. Sorry to be gross, but for the hunters, that's the way it is. So because they'll reach for your bumper, that doesn't transition necessarily to anything else. It just means your dog understands what fetch is. If they don't, kind of prime the pump. Say fetch, open their mouth, put it in. You know, and don't be doing all the good dog stuff, right? I mean, they already know what to do here. So just remind them, fetch, put it in. If you need to, bump under the chin. Remember, just hold on to it. Now the big step. Now we need to begin to get these dogs to do the work themselves. And even if they have been reaching for it, they will eventually, if you have a reacher that every time you put it up there, they grab it. All right, hold it out a little bit or down a little bit, a little angle down, then say fetch. Do they still do it? Just put it just below instead of right in front of their face, put it below and say fetch. They aren't going to do it, right? Because that's not the pattern that you've developed. So you're going to find that then your dog isn't reaching. There, that's where we're going to start going after the response, the force part of this thing. So the concept behind this, if you're new to this or haven't thought about it at this level before, the concept is, it's like sit. You know, when we teach sit, we push their bottom down, right? Push their bottom, say the word, push their bottom down. Then, if you've done it real thoroughly, we're going to have some enforcement pressure. You know, I like the wiffle bat, just a little piece of hollow plastic, a healing stick. You say sit, and you just do a quick pop on the bottom, right? We are using some physical force that they want to avoid to make them sit down quickly. That's what we're doing with sit. Same thing with here. We have the leash, choke chain on. We say the word here. We do a very quick jerk. We don't lug them like we're reeling in a big fish. We just do a real quick jerk that they want to avoid, and they come to us. So they control the sit pressure by sitting quickly. They control the here pressure by coming to us. Now we're going to teach the very same thing on reaching for the bumper. So this is a new thing. Whatever kind of enforcement pressure somebody uses, this is a new thing. So understand that. This the dog is going like, what the heck? Again, it's like, man, you've been having me do all this. Now what is this? So what we're going to do is, do dogs vary on this. Some are just like a statue, just zero response. They just don't understand and they just stop. So those are the hard ones. Those are hard ones to do. And I think I show a few of those. Then you get ones, and I have one, my daughter's dog Naked, force fetching her. It was like force fetching overcooked spaghetti. I mean, she just thought, this, I am going to die. The world is over. I have no idea what this is. I cannot do it. I just close my eyes and just quit breathing. That literally, she just disappeared into wet noodle. And I show how to do that. You don't go, oh my God, look. It's like, well, there's an interesting response. So if you have one that sits there when we start this and just does nothing, okay, that's common. And you have one like Naked was, and she just absolutely melts. Fortunately, I had her clipped, right? So she couldn't. She would have just laid down on her back because she's a bit that way. By the way, she got fully force-fetched and could handle and all that stuff. But it's like there's the other, and then you get all kinds of responses in between because we are going to put just like a pop on the bottom or a jerk on the chain. That's uncomfortable. Okay. That is not something anybody likes. And so to control that and make it go away, you respond. So you teaching the response here is the most important thing. So we want to teach the dog that when they hear the word fetch, whatever you say, these are just words that most of us use whatever you want. When you say the word fetch, the bumper goes into their mouth. Now, and the enforcement, the discomfort is a pinching, the not the tip of the ear, that's real sensitive, the part, the kind of thick part right up where the ear attaches. Because when you have your hand under the collar, right there, okay, then you have control of the head. So the dog can't be getting away, you know, have them clipped to something right there. They're not going to be moving away. They can't put their head, they can't do like naked water. They can't lay down. You know, sometimes they do the coyote thing, their mouth straight up, all kinds of avoidance things. So when you have control of your head, there they are. And just like with the sit or the hear, you're going to say the word and then enforce with the ear pinch. Now, some dogs, they're just shocked by this. I mean, they're just shocked by this. And I'll tell you, when I start, I actually don't have it in the collar. I'll have it just on the ear. And sometimes I have to, like, pull a little bit on the ear, kind of shake it a little bit to get them to respond to this discomfort in the ear. And if they make a little squeak noise, like, rah, okay, right the minute that mouth opens, I put the bumper in. Hold. So somehow this is like a jumping over to another spot. You have to teach them. I'll be pulling on some of those guys' ears. I'll pull. No damage, no hurting dogs, right? I do it in front of a video camera so everybody can see. It's nothing terrible. But I'll do something where their ear, that kind of hurts. And if they make a little sound or do something, if I can't, I'll be pulling on it, and then I'll open it up and stick it in. I have to create that association between fetch and open your mouth. So in the very beginning, sometimes you got to use a fairly uncomfortable thing just to get them to open that mouth a little bit and put it in. And then they hold it. Everybody calm down. They're like, what on earth was that? Let everything settle, right? Take it back out calmly. And then we're going to do the same thing again. On the second day after you've done that ear pinch several times in their ear, whether you got any kind of response from it or not, you come in the next day, that's a little bit, there's no blood, no broken skin, not that kind of stuff, but it's tender. Like if I was pinching your ear several times and pulling on it and stuff like that, it'd be a little tender fight on the next day. So then it's even easier. And all you need is that response where they, not this even the sound, but where they just open. And all of a sudden, within several days, if you're very consistent with this, you can see them going, okay, I'm going to reach for this. This is so important. Now, this is strongly just my opinion. But this is a place where I never get emotional. Well, in the beginning, and then sometimes I've been very upset, yes. Anymore, no. I just don't get it. It's really nice when you've seen all of the reactions and you know it. Okay, let's see which one it is and let's just deal with it. Very, very helpful. So it's easy for me to say, stay calm. But stay calm, because you getting angry, frustrated, or everything, miss, there comes the dark cloud. Here it comes. Then this thing becomes a very negative thing. You may also be taught by people to just hurt the heck out of them, make it really hurt, so they make this big loud noise and their mouth opens up and you stuff it in. I never found that necessary. Just did not. But then I'm not the my way or the highway guy. There's a lot of people, that's just how they force fetch every dog. So then it's kind of a very unpleasant thing. But I want, it's like a blind person suddenly discovering that there's words for things that they feel, that they can't see. You know, it's like, oh, there's words for everything. And they have the sign language and on all that stuff, Braille, and all the ways it's like, now I can communicate about things that I can't see. And there's like this discovery thing. And it's that way with dogs when they understand, oh, okay, if I just reach for it, I don't get the pinch thing. And so now they're reaching for it. You know, you just have to, there's not like somebody can tell you exactly how to do that. Every single dog is different. And you have to just work really hard, really focusing up close with them, getting them to just get that little bit of understanding. If they lock jaw on you, You're going to have to show them over and over, pinch a little bit and then open it and put it in there. You might have to pull on their ear, shake it, and pull on it while you're pinching a little bit. And you've got to just work. Maybe the tender ear will make it a lot easier. Find a way for them to make that association. Not by yelling, not by being frustrated, but by having the voice that I have right now. You know, it's this voice I'm going to use while I'm working with all the dogs. And when I'm doing anything, I'm going to say fetch. And I'm going to use my enforcement to be this thing that makes them decide to reach for this. So get some advice from people that have done it. That's one of the hardest parts of this right there, is just to get that understanding. I like to get that understanding before I advance. Well, you have to get that. I'm not going to just start doing other stuff. I don't get electricity in on this. I know nowadays everybody does that. I will not do it ever, because I am going to work as hard as I can to teach this response to this dog. And I'm going to say the dog will give you more when you put more effort into making them understand than if you just overwhelm them. If you just go, all right, you're gonna do this, dog. There's something lost in the connection, if the connection is important to you. If it's not, never mind. But if it is, dig down. You know, everybody that I work with all the time hears that. Dig down. When you dig down and really work to communicate with this dog, they will meet you at that level. If you don't, and you just say, listen, do it, sucker, that's the level you're at. So that's a choice, and this is one of the places that you make that choice. So it's very exciting when you get it where the dog suddenly understands, if I reach for that, then I don't get the ear pinch. This is great. I'll just reach for it. Now we have a new problem. Now we have a dog that the minute they see you come up with the bumper, they're reaching for it. Okay, so you can't get mad at them for that, because they have learned what you want, what fetch means. However, do not go, oh good, we'll just move it towards the ground and we'll get this. They have to learn that they have to wait to be told. So for those of you that want to handle and do fancy things with your dog, when you blow the sit whistle, they're out there at 85 yards and they think they're going to the right place and they're not, you got to change their direction, right? You need them to stop on the sit whistle and then wait for you to tell them which direction they need to go, what change you're making, right? So they can't just go out there, sit. You got 2 seconds to throw a hand up because they're going to go again. Don't create that response right here. So they need to sit. So you've got, right now you've got your hand, you can still control their head, whether your hand's in the, it should still be in the collar. So you're controlling their head. They can't reach for it. Don't yell at them for doing it. Just prevent them from doing it. Teach them, gotta wait. When I tell you to sit, and that's what you use if they're getting all crazy, is to enforce it. Just sit. Wait, I can bring it up here and you're not going to grab it yet, because you don't want that kind of wild and crazy response. Don't get after them for doing it. Just keep it from happening. And so they'll wait, and then you say fetch, and then they reach for it. So now that you've got that reach concept understood, now you're going to start to move the bumper away and towards the ground. And so now if you're on there are a lot of people have a table that the dogs can walk along on. A lot of pros have that. I just had the table. So once I got that response where they could literally reach down in front of their feet and pick it up on the table, you know, then I would go onto the ground, and then there's a bunch more stuff there. But you have to, once they're reaching, they need to start reaching down. Now, if you haven't clipped up on something, they've got to unclip them so that they can reach down and get it. So we're going to teach them. And what happens often here is, as long as it's close to their face and they see it, they'll reach for it. And then if it's down a little bit in front of them and they don't see it, then they won't reach for it. So that's the time to make sure that now let's get off a stationary position and let's get somewhere where the bumper at first is out in front of them. They can still see it. You know, maybe it's a foot out. And then they're going to have to get up now. And they get up and move to take that into their mouth, and then they sit back down. All under control, no craziness, no dogs running all over the place. Then you take it out, calmly rotate it. Again, counterclockwise if they're on your left side. Rotate it out. Keep all of that so gentle and so calm, just the way you want them to handle those birds. Okay, exactly the way you want them to handle that. So do that here. And so now we're going to have it out in front and down a little bit. And we teach them that we move this down towards the ground. Again, my video, other people's videos show this transition to the ground. Now, a lot of times this goes really well. Once you get the reach thing, they're reaching. And then when it's on the ground and you're not touching it anymore, okay, then we can't pick that up. Some just do it automatically, and others are like, okay, if you're not touching it, I don't fetch it. And so then I actually learned from Danny, you know, just put it on your foot. You can hold it and put it on your foot and get them to reach down there, move forward, and then sit down. And then you can have it just on your foot. And if once they'll get it off your foot, then they'll get it off the ground. So you have to transition to that. I'm running a little long on this. A couple important things to talk about. When you pinch a dog, and it's just I've never broken skin or anything on this stuff. The timing is important. They hear the word fetch, they feel the pressure. As soon as they initiate the response, you stop. Now, a bunch of people, there's a bunch of Midwest guys that teach that you put pressure all the way until it's in their mouth. That's kind of the old style collar people, how they taught collar stuff. For me, I opted not to do that, and I was taught also not to do that. When the dog gives me the response I want, just like a sit, then the enforcement is gone. So as soon as that dog, if I say fetch and I have to pinch and they reach, the pinch stops. Because otherwise, you're just grinding on them all the way to it, you know, and they can't win. They can't control that. If you want to teach them to control the pressure, then you need to be very tuned in to, as soon as they give you the response, you turn off the pressure. The dog wins. The dog can control it. So for me, that is such a much better way for me to do dogs, is that way. It's like, dog, you will get zero pressure from me for the rest of your life if you just respond. They control it. And that's what's really important, that we as training these dogs, force fetching these dogs, understand. I'm going to teach you this new response, and you never have to get an ear pinch or any of that stuff if you just do what I ask. When I ask, not before. So you got to control that part. But so there's no pinching all the way to the bumper, because again, they can control nothing then. So the thing is, if you have to, you know, say you have to say fetch, pinch a couple times, fetch, pinch, and then when they do, as soon as they go for it, stop. Very important. The other thing is, teach them to take it in their mouth and relax. Do not hurry anything here. Do not get elevated voice. Do not all of a sudden go from trying to be fair to just going, by God, I'm going to force you, you son of a gun. Don't, just stay in the same place you would want to be if somebody was teaching you this. Exactly the same. You would want them to be calm, concerned about you, making sure that you understand, and as humane as possible, only using the pressure that is necessary to create the response. That's a lot to think about. That's a lot to do. Then you can force fetch dogs. Oh, geez, I've heard people say, well, any dog ear pinched is head shy. I have never had a head shy dog. You can't touch their ears and all these kind of, maybe if it was some horrible way it was done, yeah. It does not have to be that way. Force fetch doesn't make dogs, ear pinch force fetch does not make dogs head shy or any of that kind of stuff. All right? It has to be done the way that I'm talking about, and then you don't have the problems. Now, one issue that's very important, this always gets people, when you start this new form of enforcement pressure, well, however you do it, but certainly it's a real personal thing when you're up there pinching their ear, which is why I like it. It's like, if this is you and me, dog, we're working together really hard to understand this thing. It is very personal. I've heard trainers say they like it very impersonal, you know, with the toe hitch where you just crank that toe until they reach. And that isn't very personal at all. This is, and it's a very personal thing. So sometimes when you start that ear pinch, you know, it's right up in their face and all that. Sometimes some dogs want you to stop. This is something they do not like. It's not like a pop on the bottom or a jerk on the choke chain. This is kind of in their face a little bit on their ear, and they don't like it. And some breeds are a little more this way than others. You know, everybody starts making jokes about certain breeds. Sometimes a dog wants you to stop, and they'll actually turn their muzzle towards you and snap. You know, like they look like they're... Now, some dogs do bite. There are some that are going, I'm going to hurt you right now for doing this to me. That's kind of rare. I've had some, though, that just did that. They're like, I'm going to bite you if you're going to do this to me. But out of the hundreds I've done, that would be probably about 3 or 4. So it's not very common. But if they, a lot of them, it's like a snap at you, right? Now, you've got your hand on the collar, so they can't really do it. But it really upsets people. Oh, my God, look what I'm ruining my dog. No, it's a dog telling you, stop that. I don't like this. So understand that. When that happens, they're just telling you, you know, hey, stop it. Don't. I wouldn't even respond to that. Unless they get real serious, then I will get real serious right back at them, because snapping at me is not going to happen. But if they do that, which I've had, you know, that's not uncommon at all. They kind of snap at you like, stop doing this to me. And I just stay really calm and really just stay right at it. Put it in their mouth a couple times, maybe do a little hard thump under the bottom chin for hold. And we're going to go back and do that. And I'll have that bumper real close to their mouth. So when it opens, whether they're wanting to snap at me or not, I just put it in there. And there we go. So dogs, sometimes this is a really big deal emotionally for them. Some it's not. It's like super easy. And it's like, who has trouble with this? You get everything, lockjaw, all kinds of stuff. Just understand that for dogs, this is a kind of a difficult thing, and work it out. But if you get angry, frustrated, mad, okay, you got to quit. You got to quit in with them just holding the bumper a little bit, walking around, and stop. You cannot do this in that situation. You cannot. You will not be effective. Most of all, you're teaching this dog that not only are the dark clouds coming in, it's going to thunder and lightning and rain and pour, and it's horrible. And you don't ever need them to think that about this process. You just have to stay in the details of it, take into consideration what this means to this dog, teach them that they control this by responding. And keep that mind, that very clear in your mind. And you can work it out, even the very first time. Because I did it the first time, too. I'm not sure what all I did, but we finally got there. People can do that. You just be humane towards the dog, not soft. You know, if you got a noodle like Naked was and lays down, go, no, we're not laying down. You're intelligent, love to retrieve dogs, so you're just going to do this. And when you get the big statues that say no, you need to break it up, find a way, tug on the ear, do something, finally wear that down where it's just like, dude, if you just open your mouth a little bit, put it in, everything is good. Work it out, and you can, the big old statues that get that way, you know, that's where I get out of the collar, and I just pull on the ear and do some stuff and get it in their mouth, and I break up the lockjaw thinking. You know, anger doesn't do it. You have to just change their thinking. Get that out of that mind block and back onto at least interacting with you a little bit. Not being super, super, super tough on them. I've never found that to be necessary. So all in that, kind of went over today, but this is a real important part of force fetch. At least something to think about for people that are doing it. And I don't know if I probably don't need to go on to more, because I'm not going to go into all the other stuff. There's things that you do to keep on working on this. A lot of that's readily available. Force fetch is doable by people, but I would say think about yourself, think about the dog. Everybody needs the same calm and clear on the very simple pieces of this first. So that's this week's. I'll be back next week with, I got several things that people want to hear about, so I'll see what we're going to do. But I hope this has been helpful to people trying to go through this themselves. And, you know, videos, if you see it done, then it can make sense. So find some stuff like that to look at that resonates with how you're comfortable working with dogs. You can't step out of your comfort zone and do this if somebody says, well, if they aren't screaming, it's no good, which I've heard a lot of that. You don't have to do that. You can find a way that works with you. So all the best, everybody. You guys stay safe and healthy, and I'll be back next week.